It is just great to be in church. Would you agree? I saw some of you walking in at the door, but you know, oh my gona machantas. It was like, especially those parents with the young kids, you know, they didn't sleep properly in the last 2 days, you know. I had a friend that always says he goes to work on Monday to go and rest at work, yeah, because he's just like, some of you come in like this, like, oh, you know, Lord, save me from my kids. But they're a blessing, amen. You must remind yourself of that. And, you know, I want to encourage us today, because it was like my little boy, he was, woke up early in the morning, and then he came to sleep on our bed. And the curtains was like closed, and it was really dark, so I woke up early this morning and went to the study, and when I came back, and Louise and I, we were busy doing all this stuff, and so we came in, and so he woke up, but it was like still pitch dark in the room. And then it looked like he was, and then he lied like this with his hand on his chin, and he said, "Oh, the sun forgot to woke up this morning." Because it's dark, there's no sun, so the sun forgot to work, you know, wake up. And so I was thinking, sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, the spirit of duvet is still all over me and all that stuff. But I want you to shake somebody next to you and say, "I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord." Shake somebody next to you and say, "It's lekker to be in church." That's actually what it means. Okay, cool. I want to talk a bit about a life of abundance and overcoming. And we're going to do it a bit different this morning, because sometimes we have like a topical sermon, and then I give you like 7 points, and we all give you like 7 points. This is the 7 steps, and we love our steps. But all that we're going to do this morning is we're going to just read scripture. And we're going to learn from somebody called Paul that was quite learned, and he knew lots of things. And he shared some wisdom with us and with the whole church. And I'm very excited about this. It's like these big words and all of this stuff. So I've read it like 30 times this week, and half of it I still don't understand. But I'm going to talk to you about those things that I do understand. And it's something that he grasped about the church, about relationship with God, what God has given us. And it's amazing when you begin to understand how God looks at us and how God sees you and I when we're sitting here. We always feel like, oh, I'm a bit of a loser. Oh, you know, I've all got all these things that needs to change in my life. And then you always feel like, you know, I am under construction when I come to church. God must fix all of these things. And once I'm fixed, then God is going to sort of use me. But I want us to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read 12 verses. Are you ready? If you've got your Bible here, that is the best thing that you can bring to church. It is amazing. We have the scriptures up there for the visitors, but the Bible is like, it's your most valuable possession. It's amazing when we went to the church in China, the stories that they have, because especially when they were persecuted, they cannot have the Bible. They don't have a physical Bible, but what they do have is they've got people that learn a whole book, word for word. And then the guy would actually change his name, you know, especially in the rural areas. It was so amazing to come there. And then the guy would say, "I am Matthew." And they said, "Oh, okay." And then the guy comes, and the next guy came, and he said, "I am Luke." And I thought, "Oh, okay, these are like quite biblical names, you know." But they changed their names. It was an amazing experience, because they learn every word supernaturally by the Holy Spirit of the book of Matthew. Because they said, well, the people can destroy the physical book, but if the book is written on my heart, they must kill me. But I've got the word of God in me. So they start with, in the beginning, you know. And then they, from verse 1 in Matthew chapter 1 till, what, verse 28, chapter 28. They recite every word supernaturally. Then they just come up there and they just share the word of God with people. What an amazing thing. And we should never neglect the word of God. That is our source with the working of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Can somebody say amen? Now, Paul begins in verse 8. He says, "To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Yeah, he begins in chapter 1 and 2, and he sort of shares this book with the church in Ephesus, and there were a couple of churches. But very simply, he says, he shares with them, the world is chaos. Basically, the book of Ephesians, he says, everything in the natural, everything you see, lawlessness around you, and lots of things are happening out there. And it's quite scary, you know. I drove through the campus here yesterday and with my bicycle, and I just get very emotional when I see how many young people waste their lives, you know, lying, even these girls lying there on the street corners, and, you know, and I'm just thinking, yeah, what on earth, you know. Just lawlessness, and everybody's like drinking, and then on the other side, all the Christians, they just run away. They're hiding somewhere because I'm not going to go to Fences because it's just like a drinking whatever. That's, you know, it's sort of almost like the church goes to the one side and the world is moving in this lawless one other side. Yeah, and Paul writes in the context of this, he writes to the people, and he says very simply, I've come to a revelation. That's what he says. He says, I am the least of all of the saints. He says, I've come to a place of humility because I realize that God has given me this amazing privilege to share with the world. He says, I have come to share something, but it's not like a little, oh, you know, I've got a little message and I'm going to try to persuade the world, or I'm going to, you know, the world is in a mess out there, he says. But then he says, I've come to a real, real place of humility that I see myself as the least of every saint, every Christian living. But one thing that I do is I don't take my greatness in my name or who I am or the church that I belong to. I derive my greatness from the message that I share. And he calls this a gift. He says it's like this little package here. It's like a gift when you get it on your birthday. He says, I've got a gift. And I've discovered something, and he calls it this beautiful name. He says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the word that he uses, the New King James uses. The unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, when you start to search, it's almost unsearchable. It's like some translation says, the multicolored, multifaceted, multidimensional gift of Christ. So Paul says, when I come to people, I am very humble, but I've got a privilege. I've got something. I've got a gift that I can give every person. And it's unsearchable. It is like this amazing thing. It's like almost the cure to HIV. Yeah. Imagine you've got the cure to HIV and you keep it to yourself and you just say like, you know, like when you're 3 years old, mine, you know. But imagine God gives you, or you have like the cure to heal every person that is sick of HIV today. You've got a gift, yeah? And you can give them. And Paul says, you know, I'm very humbled because it's such a privilege. It's not like I'm forced to do it. It's not like, and he says, I've got this unsearchable, rich gift that I want to give the world. Are you with me this morning? That's how he starts. He says, when all the world is chaos out there, when everything is like negative, when everything is like falling apart, whoa, I have got a privilege. It's not a right. It's not something forced on me. It's a privilege. Say, a privilege. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We're just busy with the introduction. Okay. Now he goes on. Let's read that scripture again. The first verse. He says, I'm the least of all the saints. He says, this grace, he says, God is like this river that I'm jumping into, and it's like flowing. It's just going. It's like in a direction. I understand I can tap into it. It's not because I have to be perfect or because I have to do all these works. He says, very simply, I've got a grace. I've got an ability from God to share this gift. God has unleashed something, and I know that I am probably the worst one. I am the last one. I am the, you know, and I love it. We're traveling with some Angus the other day in Israel again. We were standing there at the Feast of Tabernacles, and there were like 5,000 people from all over the world. Now he's standing backstage, and he looks at me, and he's got this thing in his eyes. He says, I still don't know why God uses somebody like me. But we're here, he says. I'm not giving them myself, I'm giving them Jesus, yeah? And I just love that. That's what Paul wrote from. He says, look, I'm a nobody. I'm actually nowhere, yeah? How many of you feel sometimes like that? You feel like, whoa, yeah? And please never fall for the trap that the person on here is like, we're these great people, you know? Stop worshiping that. In the charismatic world, there are too many idol worshippers. Worshipping the pastor and worshipping the this. You worship Jesus, okay? Because all I can say to you is that I am like not perfect at all. You know, so one of the students came the other day to me and says, you and your wife probably never argue. You never sit fuss. I say, yes, when we're in heaven one day. Yeah? It is just amazing. You know? Some people just think like, ooh, we're going to worship the pastor because he's so great. No, we're just ordinary people worshiping an amazing God. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Not talking about wealth, we're talking about riches. If you've discovered that riches, the fullness, if you've like gold that you dig deep for, it's like everything in your life. Okay, let's go on. Are you still all right? That's just part of the introduction. Second slide. And now he says, when I've got this thing, when I've got this gift, I want to make everybody see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Go on. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Let's stop there. He says, I've got a gift and I want everybody to see. I want everybody, their eyes to open up to see what this gift is. And then he goes on and he says, especially in verse 10, he says, to the intent, to reflect that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church. He says, the manifold wisdom, this riches, this like amazing fullness of God cannot be hidden. He says, I've got a calling to come to this world, to this broken world, to the people out there. And it's now time for you as the church to stand up because God wants to release his manifold wisdom, his manifold glory. He wants to release that to this world. And my desire is not just that one or two, but that everybody sees. Everyone on campus, in wherever, the young, the old, generational, everybody can see this. And he says, but there's something that I want you to know. When you bring this gift, when you share this gift with the world and you want them to see, he says, this manifold wisdom, this riches, this fullness of Christ, he says, I want you to see something. It's not just for the people. He says, I want you to let it be known, scripture, to the heavenly places. He talks about that. Like a sharp piece, though. He says, that the church might know and show it to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You see, when I come a gift, when I share what Christ and who Christ is, it is not just an ordinary little message that I share. He says that the first people that are going to realize, the first thing that's going to realize is the heavenly places. Everybody, and especially the heavenly places, has got a respect for this message, for what you have to give, what's in your heart, this riches of Christ. So don't think, well, oh, you know, and that's why fear is one of the biggest challenges in the church, the fear of man, the fear of what people are going to think. But if you understand, if you walk up to somebody and you can share the love of Christ with them, if you just lay hands on them, if you just come and bring the glory of God, the manifold wisdom into their lives, it's like the whole of the heavens stand to attention. He says, God wants you, he wants to use you and me to display that, not just to the people here on earth, but to everything in the heavenlies, to the heavenly realm. And they've got great respect. And that's why, you know, even with the seven sons of Sceva, what happened, you know, is that some people try to cast out demons, you know, and then the demons jumped on them, on these seven sons of Sceva. And the demons said, well, Paul we know and Jesus we know, but who are you? They said to the seven people that didn't know Christ. You see, the moment when you and I mention the name of Jesus, the whole of the eternity, all of the heavenly realm stand still and say, whoa, son of God, daughter of God. You see, and what the devil tries to do is he tries to diminish. Hy probeer verklein ons image van God en wie ons is in Christus. And Paul says, whoa, 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 stop the bus. Okay, stop the lorry. Right? If you just understand, he says, I don't come from a place where I'm great, but all I know is I am the least of all the people. But when I come to with this gift, when I come to declare who Christ is, whoo, the whole earth, everything, especially through the church. And I want to say this. He does not say through the individual, he says through the church. God's answer to this world is the church of Jesus Christ. It's you and me, it's us together sitting here. It's not an individual. Hello? It's the church. He says by the church he wants to reveal that. Check somebody next to you and say, it's us, it's not just you. Okay, can we go to the next slide quickly? Okay, are you all still ready? We're just busy with the introduction. We're going to just read through the scripture like a... Then he goes on in verse 11. He says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. He says, well, very simply, when you understand that this is part of God's plan, God has got a purpose. And bringing this gift to this world does not just declare to the natural people, but to the spiritual realm, who Christ is and who you are. You know, another scripture that comes to mind, he says that the whole earth is full of his glory. And the whole of creation is eagerly awaiting for the revelation of the sons and the daughters of God. You see, when you and I stand up this morning, when we sit here and we walk out here, I've got like this funny idea. I look at the mountain, I look at Botmaskop, I look at everything, I say, mountain, I'm a son of God. Valleys, one of these days you're going to move when I tell you. You see, even creation is waiting for the revelation of you and I to understand who this Christ is that is living in us. Can somebody say amen? Okay, so Paul is just writing something very simply, but he says, I want you to know this. There's an eternal purpose, and he's accomplished it in Jesus Christ. It's not in our own strength. It's not because we try to do something. He says already on the cross, he's finished the work. But he's waiting for you and I to just say, whoa, I want to be part of that. And I am part of that. If you have got the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. And then he says, because in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. He says, when you come to this place of this eternal purpose, then you need to realize something. You need to realize that God wants to bring a boldness, a confidence through an access, because it's not a religious game we're playing. It's very simply standing there and beginning to say, well, this is it. I've got access to God's throne room because I'm a son and because I'm a daughter. And because I've got this freedom to stand before him, I've got a boldness. I've got a confidence in Christ. You know? And that's why the scary part in Revelation when it says, you know, there's no place for cowards in the kingdom of God. Because God wants us with the confidence. When you walk into that place, John or Vaynant, when you walk into that attorney's business, you know, you can walk into two places that morning, or Andre, when you go into the bank tomorrow morning, you can walk in there and say, oh, I feel so overwhelmed. It's Monday again. Oh, here we come. Oh, save me, Jesus. You know? Or you can walk in there and say, Lord, what have you got that you want to reveal to this world that I'm living in through me? Lord, I've got a boldness in you. I've got access to you. I've got a confidence in what your purpose is. Not in me, but in you. And therefore, Lord, I've got a freedom to come to you. I've got a freedom to ask you. That's why Christ says, whenever you ask, and whatever you ask according to his will, it's going to happen in your life. Whoa, can somebody get excited? Hello, wave at me there at the back if you can see me. Oh, my Khuna. Thank you, Jesus. Hello. Wave. Laka. Okay. Very simply, there's when you've got a confidence, you know, and the confidence you don't derive because you psych yourself up emotionally. The confidence you derive because you are part of this plan. Because God wants to reveal his glory and his manifold wisdom and this unsearchable gift he wants to reveal through you and I, the church, to this world that we live in. And everybody here is included. You know, sometimes you think, oh, I just have a little gift. I've got a small gift. A couple of years ago, the Lord, I always share this, but I've shared it a couple of times, but, you know, I was packing out chairs there in the Sanlam Hall. That was like 1994. And it was like, God, how many people were there in church? The Villiers? 50 people, 60 people. Probably a little bit more. Yeah? Back here, didn't you like any? Huh? Okay, how many people were we? Like 40, 50, maybe 100 people, right? And we packed out Rainier and I and De Villiers. De Villiers was the sound man, and I was like, I don't know what I was, but Rainier drove the bucky. Yeah, I was just like the helper there. And as we were packing out the chairs, you know, I was struggling with this. I said, oh, God, I'm New Year, and all these people, you know, I like worship all these other people because they seem to be so spiritual. But you know what? That's just such a lie from the devil. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, okay, now, in what way are you going to start to pack out those chairs? And I said, okay, Lord, I want to trust you that you are going to touch people sitting on the chairs. And he says, okay, I'm going to start to show you. You pray over every chair that you pack out. And that's what I did. I prayed over every chair. I said, okay, Lord, who's going to sit here? In the beginning, I got it right 2 out of 10 times of where people would come to sit that did not know Jesus. At the end of that year, 9 months later, I got 9 out of 10 times, and God would show me the names of people that would come to sit on that chair that did not know him, and I would pray for that literal physical chair where those people would sit that would commit their lives to Christ. Because I understood. I don't need to go and look out there. I don't need to run after DVDs and all that other stuff and read another 40 books. If I understand who Christ is and this manifold wisdom and the fullness of Christ in me, if I begin to say to God, yes, God, what you say is yes and amen in the Bible, I want to, Lord, I just have one gift, it's the word of knowledge, and I want to start to move in that. Then God started to use me in some sort of way. You know, you think of Reinhard Bonnke that was in Lesotho preaching at 5 people. And he said, God, why is this, you know? And then he wanted to get another preacher in to come and do the healing and the deliverance. And he thought, well, we're going to have a big crusade. And then the guy didn't preach. And the Lord said, you must speak. And he says, no, Lord, not me. And then the Lord said to him, one day there will be 1 million people that get saved in one service where you preach. You better start somewhere. So he preaches hard out to 10 people, or maybe it was 15. 20 years later in Lagos, Nigeria, 1.1 million people out of a crowd of 2.2 million people committed their lives to Christ. 20 years later, but somebody had to start somewhere to say, God, here am I. I'm not looking to myself. I'm the least of all the saints, but what I want to, Lord, is I want you to use me. Because I'm not going to go through this life and then end at the end of my life and say, God, maybe, Lord, where did I miss you? I want to use every opportunity. And this is what Paul is writing. He says, there's chaos out there. But here I am. I've got a gift to the world. It's not me. I've got a gift. Shake somebody next to you and say, you've got a gift. Okay. So God wants us to have a confidence. God wants us to walk in a confidence through faith in him. Are you still with me? We're almost halfway. Not yet. He says, therefore I ask, verse 13, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. He says, my suffering, don't panic. Don't get discouraged. He says, I'm suffering a little bit so that you can go and do those things. He says, it's for your glory. He says, and now he begins with the prayer. He comes to speak something out of his heart. He says, all this revelation, and he started in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. He says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We've got this amazing position. We've got this amazing place from where we should operate. We mustn't be like these little chickens down here, you know, just scraping for a little food. No, we must know that we're seated with Christ. And that's where he starts in chapter 1 and 2. And now he comes and he prays a prayer out of his heart. He prays for the church there. And this is what he prays. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I bow my knees. I know what place I am. I come to humbly bow myself to this amazing God. I've come here to lay down my life. I'm prostrate before him. And that's so amazing. When you look for God, you know, and I want to challenge, especially the families. You know, something God said to me a couple of years ago. He says, when you pray with your kids, you go on your knees. You know, but we've lost that a little bit, you know, because we're like, whoa. But when you're like this, you can't fall far. Did you know what? You can't get hurt too much. Because on your knees, you acknowledge. So I just practice for heaven, because scripture says, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Hello, Jesus. It's the only person, only one I will bow my knees to is to him, because he's worthy. And I'm just practicing. And you know, sometimes you, my sisters, it's just like, just make sure your carpets are clean. But the most amazing thing is sometimes just to lie. Oh, Lord, I am nothing. But here I am before you. You know, have you ever seen, have you read your Bible lately? Because in the Bible, every time somebody met the real God, it wasn't like, let me, come and touch me and see how greater you are. Oh, my God, have you read Saul on the road to Damascus? When he meets God, the real God, he falls on his face. He falls from his horse, you know. Greater than when Eugene did a couple of years ago, you know. It's just like, you know. He lies there. He's actually blinded for a couple of days. You know, because this amazing God, this, you know. And then Paul says, but I come to him as a father. I don't come to him because I'm afraid of him. But I still bow to him. Or I know his heart, but I've still got the fear of God in my life. I understand how big this God is. and I understand the privilege. Now he goes on. He says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He says, I pray that God will do something in you, that he will grant something to you. He will awaken something in you. Let's go there. Hello, up there on the screen. Okay, next slide. He says, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. He says, look here, I pray for something for you. I pray that God would grant to you, he would sort of give you the ability to be strengthened in your inner man by his spirit. But he doesn't say this just in an ordinary way. He says, I pray that God will give you might. Do you know that word for might is the word power? And some translation says the dynamite. He says, I pray that something will happen that you will understand that in your inner man. Now your inner man, the word for inner man includes your emotions, your conscience, your knowledge, the way that you think. He says, there's so many battles going on that is sort of your flesh against this spiritual walk. This is what God wants to reveal. He wants to show you this unsearchable riches. He wants to reveal this manifold grace of God to you. But I pray that something will happen inside of you, that you'll be strengthened. And when somebody is strong, it's like you can wake up every day. It's like, you know, I started to go ride. I jog a lot, but I don't ride bicycle, you know. But I started this week. You know, those first 2 days, oh, my chona. You know, it feels like you don't want to sit. You know, everything inside of you, let's not go into detail, but everything's like, oh, you know. And then the second day when you get onto the bicycle, you just think like, oh, you know, there's sachte bokies, okay? That's, you know. But the most amazing thing is the more you start to do that, the more you start to cycle, the more you start to jog, suddenly you begin to realize, whoa, I can go a little bit further. It's strengthening. Strengthening your muscles. But you know, spiritually, it's the same. He says, I pray that you might be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in your inner man. So that when you stand up, it's not about what's on the outside. When you wake up tomorrow morning, then you feel like, whoa, I've got an ability to tap into Christ. I've got an ability to access a heavenly realm that is so far greater and so far stronger that it will give me even a physical might. It gives me the ability to change the world around me, physically, emotionally, in my conscience. You know how many people walk around and we feel so bad in our conscience. It's always accusation and always these negative thoughts. And you just, there's some people here this morning that feel like you are just so struggling to get peace in your mind. And this is what Paul prays. He says, I want you to be strengthened in your inner man so that it's not confusion running around. There's a lady here that gets voices speak to you. There are voices speaking to you. And it's not your voice, but it feels to you even sometimes like audibly. And you feel like sometimes you want to lose your head. I want everybody to close their eyes. I want to pray for that lady now. Where are you? There's voices in your head that speaks to you. And the Lord wants to deliver you. Where are you? It's going to take a massive boldness. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm going to just pray where you're sitting, but I want to see where you are. There are voices in your head that speaks to you. Is that you? I'm going to just pray that right now you'll receive the peace of God. Lord, we cancel those voices right now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over it. Lord, we recognize it, that it's not from her, but it's from the devil, God, and even curses that has run through her family lines. We cancel it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for your blood, and thank you for your peace. I also want to pray for those people who are just so struggling to have peace in your mind right now. Before we continue, I want you to lift up your hand just where you're sitting. I'm going to pray that God, and we're going to pray for you, that God will just quiet those voices, those confusing voices. Lots of hands going up. Father, right now, we thank you that we're in the boat with you. And these people, Lord, their boats will not sink because of your peace. And we release your shalom peace over them right now. Lord, they don't need to run up and down. They don't need to try to access you, Lord, because you have already given us your peace through your Holy Spirit. And right now, Lord, we pray for a peace in their inner man, in their minds, in their emotions. We command every storm to quiet in Jesus' name. And we say, now, now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you just receive the peace of God. He's going to speak to you, and he's going to do amazing stuff. Okay, so he says, I pray that you'll be strengthened with might in your inner man. And we still got three verses to go. He says, that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. He says, I pray that you understand, Jesus is not on a mission to come and visit you and just to knock on your door a little bit. But if you understand the hope of glory, Christ in you, if you understand that Christ dwells inside of you, whoa, then it doesn't matter that he's with you in the boat. Then you can walk into any circumstance, into any place, into any environment, and you can just say, I have the peace of God. I've told you many of the stories of Pakistan, you know, the pastor that we're supporting there, you know, it's just amazing speaking to him. Because we're trying to fly him out now to Malaysia. We must get a visa. Because three times last week they came to kill him. They shut down in the local mosque. They've shut down his the finance business stuff that they're in. And he had to run for his life for 2 weeks now. And when he speaks to me on the phone, I just love it. It's just one of those things that you cannot understand, you know, if you look at it naturally. Because this man is so full. He says, no, God is in control. God said to him, he must get out of the country. He must go to Malaysia for 6 months. But he's at peace because he's in the will of God. They can't come and kill him. But he must just be now obedient to what God told him. And as he's going to do that, God is going to just open up the doors. It's just so amazing. So he's going to get out and then he's going to come back. And he's got, God has already given him a strategy when he comes back, you know. And I just love it when you're in the will of God and you understand the peace of God, you know. It's not like us here, you think, oh, you know. There the guys come with their guns. The problem is just sometimes here, the enemy is much more wicked. It's offense and unforgiveness and confusion in our minds and apathy and like hatred and anger and all of these other stuff. We just don't see the enemy where we're sitting here. And that's why Jesus says, I am the peace. I am the Prince of Peace. Okay. So he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts. That you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. You're still busy praying, okay? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I just love this. Shake somebody next to you and say, God's love passes knowledge. Thank you for your excitement. We're going to get there this morning, okay? Very simply, he says, I pray because you cannot go out there to try and change the world and wanting the world to see and giving all those gifts if you don't understand the love of God, the love that he has for you. And I pray that for you. He says, I pray that you are not just rooted. You know, it's like a tree. The wind comes, we hide. But a tree, have you ever seen a tree? It just remains standing. If it's rooted correctly. That tree, doesn't matter what comes, the tree just stands there. It's like 50 years later, it just grows. There it goes. He says, being rooted in his love. And then he says, being grounded. It's like, I want to use the word cemented in his love. Yeah? And he says, if you can just understand the width and the depth, and you can just understand the dimensions of his love, because it passes knowledge. He says, you can't figure it out with your head. That's why you cannot come to God with your head. You must come with your heart. He says, God's love passes knowledge. Say, God's love passes knowledge. God's love passes knowledge. I want you to take your hand and you're going to pray this now. Just that one part over the person next to you. Take your hand, put it on their shoulder. We learned last week how we bless people. Okay? Now you say, you can read it from there. He says, I pray. Let's go to the previous slide. I pray, say after me, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Whoa. He says, I pray that you can understand his love. Because once you and I understand his love, there's ability to give, there's ability to share. And now he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Some translation says, or even imagine. according to the power that works in us. He says, if you understand what God has given you, if you understand this Christ in you and the fullness of Christ, he says, you can begin to ask, you can begin to walk in a level of overcoming and of abundance. He says, to him, now to him who is able, say, God is able to do. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, okay? Now, if you come to your wife and you say, I love you exceedingly abundantly, yeah? More than what my words can express. Yes, your wife is going to say, bring it on. But Scripture is like, whoa, out there, you know? It says, it's like, if you can just think of this, you know, once you understand the love of Christ, the dimension, God unlocking this in your life, don't go look out there. Just simply say, God, you've given me a gift. You've given me this gift. And Lord, I want to understand with these other people your love, your abilities. Lord, now I'm going to begin to ask you things according to your will. He can do exceedingly abundantly above, more than what you even ask or think, or like some translations say, even imagine. Whoa. You see, God has got like this massive treasure chest, this massive treasure room. It's almost like a bank, and we've got all this, it's like this $1 million in the bank, and we've got the card to access it, but nobody knows, nobody wants to just go and access it, but it's already there. But you know, you have to put in the thing. It's almost like two chairs. I put two chairs here on the thing, you know. Some people go through life, and then we have like this, you know, I've got like this little thing, like, let's move a little bit, you know, and let's move a little bit to that side, and we're going to just enjoy life like this, not do whatever, yeah, and we're sort of like, this is it. Paul says when you come to Christ, it's like, voila. I was sitting one day in a meeting like this, and I was riding on the chair, and the next moment I fell over to the back with a group of students. Now, just like students are, you know, I was lying there, and I couldn't get up, and they didn't help me. They were just laughing. Herbie, was any Dani? Was anybody meeting our dog? But in any case, now see, it's like, woo, this thing has got wheels, woo, yeah. You see, the problem is just if we think that this chair is just for its comfy, I'm going to sit around, you know, drinking tulips or drinking soft drinks, looking at the tulips, spinning around, because it's so wonderful. The chair is so wonderful, yeah? And you can sit the whole day also there and sit at your work and you just spin around and you feel like, wow, it is so amazing. This thing has got a lever. Woo. Did you see that? You didn't see that, eh? It just goes like, it's got an adaptable thing down here. Look quickly, it happens fast. Whew. Did you see that? You can even adjust to the level of the computer, you know? Depends on whether you're shorty or whether you're a tall person, but it's like, you know? And so many Christians then go, they've got this chair, they've at least recognized that there is a chair, but they don't know what the purpose is of the chair. The chair is not to sit and just relax. This chair is very simply so that you can work effectively. And many people sit in the comfortable chair because it's just comfortable, and then they think, well, that is great. God bless me because I spin around in Jesus. I spin around. I'm more than a spinner in Jesus. Amen. Yeah? But it doesn't work like that, yeah? The chair is very simply is to give you comfort, to give you an ability not to struggle through life, but very simply to be able to work, to be able to focus so that you don't have back problems and all that stuff when you need to work. But sometimes we forget the whole purpose because we've got a nice chair. And that's what Jesus said so often, you know, when he talked about the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul prays here and he says that God would grant to you that he would do something in your inner man, that you would begin to ask things, but you understand it's not for you. It's again so that the world can see. So that you can bring a gift to them that you can say, whoa, I've got something that's going to change your life forever. I've got something that has changed my life. The love of God has changed me. It's not knowledge I cannot explain to you. If I have to give you three rules on what Jesus did in my life, I cannot. All I know is I met with Jesus. He changed my life for eternity. You see, then suddenly you begin to look and you begin to read at scriptures a little bit different. Let's go to that last part. It says there, so that you can ask. He says, to him be the glory in the church. You see, you can ask for all these abundant stuff. You can ask for all these things. But he says, to him be the glory in the church. So that his glory can be known by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. He says, you can actually read all of that and then you get into the prosperity gospel because you think God blesses me. No, no, no. God wants to give you a chair. God wants to give you ability where you fly high above like an eagle. But he says it's very simply. It's so that God's name can be glorious in the church to all generations. And that's what I love about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, this gift is accessible to a four-year-old and to a 20-year-old. My little son, Josh, the other day we were walking in the shop and he was saying, Daddy, I want to meet with Jesus now. I want to go to heaven. Out loud, you know. He's becoming a preacher. You know. I said, oh, but you can't go now. We're going to miss you too much. He says, no, I want to see Jesus. So I said to him, but have you accepted Christ in your life? Oh, I'm not sure, but I think so, he says. So yesterday he was working in the garden. And now the gardener is walking there and he's working in the rose garden with all the thorns there, and he walks up to the gardener because he pretends that he's doing a lot in the garden, but he's not actually doing anything, you know. He's just, so he stands there and he says, the devil makes you walk in the thorns, but God will never do that, he said to him. So I'm thinking, gardener, here comes the gospel, you know. The doctrine is very skewed, but it's going to get there, you know. But it's just amazing, a four-year-old understands, you know. The devil brings the thorns. But God is not going to do that to you. Yeah? Let's read. I'm going to read you three scriptures. The promises of what Jesus came to give. And then we're going to end. Are you still ready? Then we're going to pray. Then the service is actually starting. Because I know God wants to touch some of you. And especially break you out of a mold. Of accusation. Of lying. Of stuff that you and I believe that limits God. That will unleash you to a place where you understand when you walk out of here today and when you walk into that job tomorrow, that it's not unspiritual to work. It's not unspiritual. But the whole world is waiting for the gift of God to be manifest. The desire is that everybody will see. The desire is that you and I would come with the confidence because we've got access to a Father in heaven. We will come with a boldness to this world and we will come and we'll be strengthened by His Holy Spirit every day in our inner man. Where there's no more condemnation and all these negative stuff and we're always just there. It's like some of us there. God gave me a picture for some of you today. It's like the pool of Bethesda. We're like that person that needed healing and he was sitting at the pool and then every time the angel comes down and stirs and the first one who gets into the pool, that person gets healed. And then the rest of the people sitting there waits, oh, okay, maybe next time. Maybe next time. Maybe next time. But Jesus is walking up into your life. The real Jesus. And He's saying to you today that you don't need a pool. You need Him. And when He says, rise up and walk, do you know what? Then it happens. Not when Sia says it, but when Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the man from Galilee, walks into your life and he says, take up your bed and walk. Do you know what? It happens every time because he cannot change. And when you and I open up our hearts for that and for the working of his Holy Spirit in our lives, the world is going to change. It's going to be like a felt fire. But what's happening in your heart? So I want to read those three scriptures, promises that Jesus gave. You know, God said, there was a rich young man and Jesus said, sell all this stuff. I'm going to just read the scriptures. And then the disciple says, how on earth is it possible that men can be saved? You know, when he said to this rich man, go and sell everything. Whoa, you know, go and sell everything. Then Jesus said it. He said, but Jesus looked at them, verse 26 in Matthew 19, and said to him, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Stop dreaming small if you're a Christian. It is not about trying to survive through this life. It is about overcoming. It is about knowing a Christ that has risen. He says, with men, it is absolutely impossible. You and I can do nothing. We're the least of whatever. But one thing you need to know is don't stop God from being God. Don't limit God because of our comfort and our apathy and our indifference and because of our bad experiences that we even maybe had in church. With God, all things are possible. I want to say that again. With God, all things are possible. And I want to scream it out. If with God, all things are possible. It's as simple as that. You know? All things are possible with God. And I'm not screaming at you. I'm just screaming out into the heavenly realms because the heavenly realms probably knows that. Yeah? But I have to say to myself so many times, with God, all things are possible. And I'm not trying to psych him up and trying to say, it's just simply that's the truth. Not trying to psych myself emotionally. No, no. When I understand that my spirit connects with his spirit. Then Jesus said it in John chapter 7. John chapter 4 and John chapter 7. He says, one day, I give you a promise. John chapter 4. I said to the woman, he said, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, then I would have given you living water. He says, if you knew this gift, if you just knew this gift, if you would intimately understand what I've come to give to you, then what you're going to do is you're not going to run up and down and now you're going to say, ooh, today I need a Red Bull. Today I need a play. I'm going to play. Today is my play day. It's not a Red Bull where I've psyched myself up. Or today I am going to use a spike. Spike it up. Protein, yeah? Bastions since 1899. Raspberry, you know? I need a Bastion today, yeah? Or, no, I'm a more conservative person. I want a Karoo, yeah? Everything is slower in the Karoo, yeah? But the most amazing thing is we've got so many stuff that is artificial and gives you a sugar rush for a moment. And that's why when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he says, I want to give you living waters. He said to that lady, whenever you drink of this water, you will never thirst again. You see, the Holy Spirit is not a mist. The Holy Spirit is a person that you and I invite into our lives, a personal relationship, like with a person, the Holy Spirit. He says, but when I give to you living waters, you're going to never thirst again. And that's what water does. We all need water. But it's not an emotional thing when you taste the water. It just satisfies you. It just quenches your thirst because you know you can go for all those other stuff, all those artificial stuff, pump me up, go all that, and have a touch here a little bit. Or you can say, Lord, I want living waters because I'm thirsty. In John chapter 7, Jesus said it about the Holy Spirit. He says, in verse 37 and 39, he says, you know, when you come into a relationship with my Holy Spirit, and that's the difference, people. And I really want to challenge us because I was thinking we're a charismatic church, but we just like, we preach sometimes that people must get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we're not a spirit-filled church, in the West at least. We're not spirit-filled. We've been baptized with the Holy Spirit. But spirit-filled people manifest this. He says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. He says, an abundance of just fountains and living waters. And he spoke this, the scripture says, about the Holy Spirit. You see, we've got a relationship, we've got an ability, like Paul prayed. He says, I've got ability, I want you to tap into the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you might. He's going to give you ability not to look at the natural around you. But when you begin to invite that person of the Holy Spirit into your life every day, when you begin to see God, okay, I'm just packing chairs today, but it's not just packing chairs. I'm not trying to prove something to the church because they need chair packers. I'm doing this, Lord. I'm standing there. It's like my wife with the children's church. You know, she just loves children's church, and I love the people volunteering for the children's church. But they, you know, you can either say, well, I'm just doing a job because, you know, somebody needs to do the job. Somebody needs to follow. Or I can say, Lord, there's destiny with these kids. Lord, I've got an ability. One moment to lay my hands on them can change their life forever. One moment, Lord. I remember praying for a guy up in Joburg one day, and I didn't have a clue. And 4 years later, he came to me. He says, you know, one day you prayed for me. You laid your hands on me. You didn't even know what you were praying. You probably didn't remember. But I'm running 4 orphanages now because of that word that you gave when you prayed over me. And I'm 23 years old. Everybody says to me, you are fallen on your head. He's running it in Malawi, in Zambia. He says, and I'm their dad. I'm 23 years old. I said, come on, bring it on. Because a touch from the Holy Spirit will make you think, get a bit weird sometimes. You know? You'll dream dreams that are a bit bigger, that is impossible with man to do. Last scripture.
Some people are smiling and some people are thinking, yeah. I'm not talking to just five people in this room. I'm talking to everybody. When the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, you begin to dream dreams. You begin to see things. You begin to imagine the kingdom of God and the fullness of God more than what you ask or think. According to, here it goes on. He says, for whatever is born of God overcomes this world, and this is the victory that has overcome this world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I've received a gift 13 years ago. No. I'm lying. 22 years ago. That gift of all gifts walked into my life. His name was Jesus Christ. He changed my life completely, fully. I'm walking on a road with that God that is my best friend, but he's also my Lord. And every day I just say, God, sometimes, you know, people say to me, well, how do you manage? You know, the one weekend you're at a trance party, the next weekend you're in Pakistan or whatever. And it's not about running around. You know, I'm so glad Ilse and Jan Willem and where's Yopi and Jamie. It's so great to me that married couples are leading these mission teams in April, you know. Because sometimes people just think, well, no, you can only do that when you're a student and you've got lots of energy. For me, it's like a new era in the church. Because now the families are beginning to say, yes, we also want to go to Nepal and we want to go to Congo. Or we want to go to the safe house here next door in Stellenbosch. Or we want to go to Addis Valley. Oh, but we want to make a difference because we've got a gift to give. We've got living waters. We've got the cure for AIDS. Whoa, hello world. Look at me. In the natural, you're going to see nothing. Wait till I lay hands on you. Whoa. Hello. I loved it so much. The other day we were doing a SOS, which is the School of the Supernatural in Johannesburg. And there was a lady, nice Joburg Oma. I love those Omas that pray so much. You know, and she came to testify. She said, no, the previous day we spoke about healing and the fact that we can pray for ourselves. We don't need to wait for somebody else to pray. You can pray for yourself for healing. You know, you can say to that pain, be gone in Jesus' name. So she woke up the morning because she had a ski accident in the Alps or whatever, wherever. And she like tore her ligaments on both sides and she was like really out of there. But she's like this prim and proper Joburg auntie. You can ask David and these people that were there. You know, she's on these high heels and she's like, with a dress and everything, and she's like, you know, she comes up there and she says, yeah, I just want to tell you, you know, this morning I prayed for myself. Yeah. Yeah. And she couldn't flatten her feet. She couldn't walk without high heels anymore because the ligaments and the stuff has grown, you know, to that place that she had to wear. She couldn't like wear stokies or anything like that. Of gooi mekaar vol sand, plakkies. Yeah. Oh, goed, wat so sand opgooi die hele tyd as jy loop. Okay. Gooi mekaar vol sand. Okay. So, but she couldn't wear that. And so the morning she prayed and she was thinking, okay, God, I've learned this one little thing, but I'm going to stand on this one little thing. And then as she wanted to put on the high heels, like she just realized, whoa, something has changed in the feet. And she put her feet down and she said she walked out the front door, flat feet. She could feel the ground. And she was like, she phoned her daughter and her daughter cried over the phone and she cried over the phone and she shared the gospel. And then she goes on and she says, flat feet on the ground. Then she goes like this. Yeah. I just love it when a plan comes together. Yeah. When people begin to access what God has already given us, they're not trying to go out there because the prophet and the healer and that person must lay hands on me. And people stop running around to other people. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you life and you must go to him first. When you and I access him, when we come into his heart, when we begin to access and say, God, thank you that you have, like Louis said today, thank you, Louis, for your obedience. You know, God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in Jesus Christ. Stop falling for the accusation or waiting till you're perfect one day. Say, thank you, Jesus. My prayer today for each one of us and for myself, sometimes you can pray selfish prayer, is Lord, stand up inside of me. Lord, I want to make a difference. God, I'm not ordinary or boring. I'm a son of God. And if I've been created in your image, you are certainly not boring if I just look at nature. So God, there's either a breakdown between me and you sometimes because I come across as a boring person sometimes, and sometimes I'm just like out of it until the Holy Spirit gets hold of me. The other day we were talking that, I'm just sort of finishing the sermon, okay? The other day I had the privilege of going to share at Paul Boisei, the school where I was. And it's amazing, you know, you stand up there and you've got like 10 minutes and you can stand up, and I was just thinking, bring it on, Jesus. Like, how many people, like 900 kids are sitting here, and we're going to have a party. I'm not intimidated. I'm not whatever, Lord, because I'm bringing them a gift. I'm saying, yeah. And you know, 400 boys stood up. It was quite a challenge in the beginning, because I said, if you want to receive Christ, stand up. Nobody stood up. And I said, okay. If you want to receive Christ, stand up. And then there was one guy in the middle there. I'll never forget him. He was sitting there. And he's probably thinking through all of like, whoa, what if I stand up for Jesus in front of all of these guys, you know? And it's like a boys' school. It's like, wow. And then I could just think, this is it. That point of no return, that point where you're going to like just say, yes, God. And then he stood like this. He stood like this. I'm standing for Jesus, yeah? Whoa, yeah? And then the boys just started like, kish, 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 all over the place, like, kish. They just stood up, you know. And I was thinking, that guy. Thank you, God. He's receiving a double portion. Why? Because somebody stood up for Jesus that opened the door for many others to follow. Are you willing? And Paul says, we live in a scary world. You're either going to hide or you're going to bring the gift to the world. You're going to realize the love of Christ, what he's done in your life. Oh, he loves you so much. Oh, but it's not a knowledge love. It's a heart love. Will you stand with me as the band is going to come up?